You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Three Hard. This is Craig Davis,
your boy
also
Jimmy.
Known as CJ.
Your man's Rob, also known as Rob.
Your boy B, a.k.a. With Jimmy Bars.
A.k.a. DJ Quick.
Ha ha.
All day. You know, like DJ Quick with your hair down.
All day.
All day, every day?
All day, every day.
Want to be freestyle rapper? what's been going on? What's been going on, Rob? What's been going on?
Not too much, man. It's my man CJ. First time linking up with you in how many years?
About 6-7 years. What was that, 2011?
Since about 2011.
Yeah, McDonald's. I think 2010, 2011. Yeah. I can't remember. I really don't care no more.
Now, we've been, you know what I'm saying? I say we keep in contact, but this is like my first time seeing him, dog. It's always good to see my man, CJ.
Right. What's been going on with that time frame since the last time we seen each other?
Oh, man. Your man's almost died, dog. It's been wild.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
What's been going on? Like,
Well,
we had like. I think we talked about it before. I remember you said like you had like a like seizures or like heart.
Nah, it wasn't even really a seizure. It just one day I was at work.
Okay.
And I felt ill. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not thinking too much nothing of it. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, then I just started my job, so I'm about to gut it out. You know what I mean? It might be a slight flu or something, man. But long story short, I didn't feel it. It just never got better.
Right.
The man's went to the hospital, kind of found out I was having, you know, I was dying. They said my heart rate was really low. They wanted to know what was going on. They admitted me, come to find out, I had congestive heart failure.
It was heart failure. Yeah. I wasn't for sure, like, heart defect or anything like that.
I mean, yeah, it was real serious for your mask, but, you know.
That's good. You still here, man.
Still here.
God is in the blessing business as usual.
Right, last time I seen you was kind of big. I think you was like a big chunky dude.
I'm still kind of big in Turkey, but I was bigger. I was about almost 3. I think I was at like maybe 260, 265-ish, you know.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, man, I got ill, you know, went from that, had to get the life vest.
The life vest.
Okay. Had the life vest. Then basically I got the ICD. I was good with that for about 6 or 7 months. And then
All right.
It just went left, man. I had to get the LVAD.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people don't know what that is. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to waste a lot of time, but just Google that if you can. Basically a, you know, it's like a device, more like a machine, keeping me alive until I was able to get a transplant.
Okay.
It got real serious. I had to get a heart transplant in June last year. It'd be almost 1 year. No complications.
That's blessing. That's awesome, man. I'm surprised. I'm glad you're still here, man.
Hey, thank you.
To this day, man, coming to the podcast with us and just be chilling, man.
But let's not start the podcast off all sad.
I know, man. I almost cried a little bit.
You know what I mean?
Almost cried a little bit. I'm going to shed a tear, man. But what's going on, Brandon? What's going on with your life, man?
What the deal, man? You know what it is, man. Constantly working, constantly taking care of business.
That's what's up. Like me, everything... It's been a lot going on since from 2010 to now. I got married. I've been married for 3 years now, going on 4.
Yes, sir.
August 10th. Well, thank you.
Keep it pushing.
Had a baby, daughter.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Holly. Shout out to my wife, Aquila.
Shout out to my wife and to my babies, Daniel and Zariah. Daddy love you.
Got my degree.
All day.
Congratulations.
All day.
Well, I ain't doing nothing with my degree yet, but I will eventually.
Sure, we doing something right
I
here?
Had 3-4 jobs there, but you know, I'm trying to keep it pushing.
Yes, sir.
Stay positive as much as I can. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
You know, let's get this podcast on the right note. I want to talk about, like, relationships. It's been a lot going on, especially on social media, like how people breaking up on social media because of social media, I should say. And I think it's a sad case. Do you think people should get away from social media if you're in a relationship?
That's a good question, man. I don't really think people should. I just think... People should, you know what I'm saying, probably spend more time getting to know each other first, getting to see these qualities first, you know, because if it wasn't social media, it'd be something else that becomes a distraction or, you know what I mean, something that's heavily influencing you to either cheat, lie, you know what I'm saying, or go crazy. So you got to think about it. When we was in high school or early adults, it wasn't really no social media. No.
It wasn't.
We were still having them issues, though. I mean, it was MySpace.
We did have social media.
Okay.
We had the hood. So, you know, you going out with Keisha and her friends, Terrain and Tiffany, like, so why you walking out the store with Michelle? You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of extra, but I always go back to the way our pastor has tried to teach us how to handle stuff. You know, dating collects data.
Okay.
We don't date no more.
I wouldn't agree with that. I ain't hear that word.
We don't date no more. We see you. Mm-hmm. We like you. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then it's no more today. We have no idea whether or not if you smoke, whether or not if you drink,
man,
what your ambitions are, what do you like to do. Like, there's no compatibility anymore. It's just, you're a woman, I'm a man. All righty then, let's get this going. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And then as far as being on social media, it's not about it being on social media, really. The problem is that nobody gets in a relationship for the simple fact of companionship anymore. We're in a relationship for attention. My friend has a girlfriend. I don't have a girlfriend.
It's like a competition.
You know what I'm saying? It's a competition, and you're not even with this person for real, and you giving this person everything.
Let's say, for instance, you go to somebody's wedding, and it's like, okay, they got a little, you know, she got a long little dress and stuff like that. Got a nice little hair, nice little reception, everything. I thought I could do better than that. You know, it's like a competition thing. Like, okay, I'll kiss on her neck. Like, okay, I'm gonna kiss on her titties. You know,
at a wedding, DJ.
There's no substance. There is no substance anymore. I hear what he's saying. There's no substance anymore.
I see what he's saying. We're not.
You know, it's crazy how you can't even. There's no respect for certain things anymore. You used to be able to get married, and you got married for the right reasons. People don't even act like they got sense when it comes to a funeral anymore.
You know what? I'll say this. A lot of our, you know what I'm saying, parents and grandparents, you know, so they had issues within their relationships too, how we do too now. I just think it was a little bit like he was saying earlier, respect.
Yeah.
They knew how to work through things. You know what I'm saying? They knew how to keep a lot of things discreet and private and personal. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, you would get home. I say, for instance, just a small example, and I'm pretty sure y'all all got one of them on y'all Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
She break up with her boyfriend. I call her Jennifer. You know what I mean? Jenny break up with Brandon.
I don't like that name, but go ahead.
Okay, well. Susie, you know what I mean? Fucking Tiffany, you know what I mean? She break up with her boyfriend.
That's even worse, but go ahead.
Next thing you know, soon as she break up with him an hour later, fuck him. He ain't shit. Blah, throwing all his dirty business all over.
Why would they do that, man?
I don't know. You know what I mean? But they throw all his dirty business on social media.
Well, you know what? The other problem with that situation, not to cut you off, there's, like we said, it's not just respect. There's no rules anymore. I don't like it, and I tell this to every girl that I'm cool with. I don't like it when you're dealing with a dude and you haven't put a label on him.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with another woman. I don't like it when dudes deal with women and expect a woman not to do the same thing. The proper term for this situation is called friends with benefits.
Yeah.
We don't put that in place anymore because we don't think that that's something that needs to be put in place. But it does. If I'm not dealing with you in a relationship mode, and this is strictly physical, we're not trying to be emotional, we're not trying to get to know each other, we're not trying to date, none of that. We're just having sex. Then that needs to be said.
Right, quick question. Do you think we hopping into situations to where we getting physical too quick?
Absolutely.
Okay.
At all times.
Okay.
And it's just as simple. It's just as simple as going to McDonald's, and you behind the girl, and she takes her order. She turns around and looks at you. We all know what attraction looks like and feels like. Instead of that attraction turning into getting to know this person, that attraction turns in, she's waiting for you to get your quarter pounder. And now we exchange numbers, but we haven't exchanged numbers in order to talk to each other. We've exchanged numbers to make a time for when we can get together and have sex. And that's it. We're not, forget the fact that.
I used to be like that back in the day.
Thank God you not.
Thank God I'm married.
Thank God you not no more. But no, seriously, because, hey man, hey man. But no, seriously, like I have always, and I'm probably weird considering our generation. I've always wanted to be married. I've always wanted to be a dad. I never understood the whole 2 to 3 girl situation.
You know what?
As far as like saying that's my girl, that's weird to me because that's too much to juggle.
Okay.
I'm not going to say you weird. You know what I'm going to say is you're more honest than weird. I'm pretty sure everybody got that deep down. But the thing is acceptance. Do you think the average man or woman or anybody, period, feel like that's acceptable to where I just can admit to my friends who may be single and dating and might put on this image that they not looking for that?
Well, see, that's the biggest problem because people feel like that they can't say it only because that's not what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't want to be the odd person out. Mm-hmm. And then now you got your friends looking at you like, oh, so you think you better than me because you got married.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And you know the
what is that?
You know what?
That is weird as fuck.
You know what?
Like,
the other problem that I have always been the type of person to look at it from every aspect of the situation.
Okay.
You can be a girl who has been promiscuous her entire life and still want to change it and end up being a housewife and end up having children and end up making something of yourself. I've seen it personally. I've seen girls who actually were strippers for a little bit. They got their degree, became something 10 times better, got married, had children. You know what I'm saying?
I know quite a few, right? Yeah.
The terminologies and the mindsets that we have nowadays, I don't understand it. We're stuck with believing that that's it.
I think it's mainly because the other side of the coin is more promoted. You know what I'm saying?
That too.
And that could be more promoted, but it could still be 50-50. Like, for example, I know a young lady. I'm not going to call no names or nothing like that. But just like you said, she used to strip. She used to do what she used to do. She wound up settling down, getting married, having a couple kids. But what I also see, thank you to social media, she relapsed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Whatever what happened in their relationship, whether he cheated or she cheated or they just wasn't getting along anymore, they wound up filing for, you know what I'm saying, divorce like 4 or 5 years later. Mm-hmm. And now she's back working in the strip clubs. She back.
Now,
you know what I'm saying? And then the average weak-minded person to see that and to be like, think that all women is like that.
But you know, the problem with that is that's just the same way as the situation with church. You know, when we were growing up, we went to church because we needed to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Now people,
we didn't have a choice. We was kids, you know.
We didn't have a choice, but the choice that we did not have was explained why we didn't have a choice.
Right. Right.
Nowadays, if you're going to church, you're not going to church for the right reasons. It's either you want to do a fashion show. You're a great singer. And where are the greatest singers coming from? So I need to go to church. Or you may have a mindset that you want to go to church, but you're just there just to be there. You're not actually grasping anything.
Right, so the intentions ain't pure.
The intentions is not pure. And then is that a problem? Yay and nay, because while you're still going, if you're still going for those reasons, you might mess around and mature and do what you're supposed to do and get what you need from church. Then you get people who've been going to church their entire lives, doing what they're supposed to do, handling their business, learning, and then all of a sudden they don't want to go anymore. And it's like, you don't want to go because of, and then the reasons are as dumb as they can be. You're not going to church for everybody else. You're going to church for yourself. Mm-hmm. My point is that we're, like you said, the acceptance situation is out of control.
True.
And now it's starting to, it's starting to gravitate in places where it shouldn't be gravitating to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go ahead and get into this situation because it's starting to get out of control. The school shooting situation.
Okay.
Oh, that's another topic.
Yeah, that's getting kind of bad, man.
Especially what happened in Florida last week.
Shout out to the people in Florida.
Shout out to D Wade, man.
Yeah, we are praying for you guys.
We are.
We love you guys. We're sorry for what you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
I just need something to be understood.
Yeah.
Paying attention means everything.
Yeah.
Us as a people, I'm going to say it, us as black people, we need to know the difference between, because we're the ones that really have this notion of things. We need to know the difference between telling and snitching. Snitching is when it's just completely petty. If you and me are brothers, mom told you.
It's not, like a little tattletale.
You know what I'm saying? Mom told you not to get no Kool-Aid and you went and got some Kool-Aid. This is my time to get some cool points. Ma, he went and got some Kool-Aid. That's snitching.
But you know, nowadays, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, they got telling the truth or telling.
We got the wrong perception.
Misconstrued, dog. Like, I was always brought up to believe that, like, if you snitch, if both of y'all doing something that y'all not supposed to be doing, and you get caught, and you rat out your mans or your friend.
That's snitching.
That's snitching.
That's got nothing to do with them. Now, if you're the one that got caught.
But then to a certain degree, you can't get mad at a regular civilian either who, let's say, you doing something bad. And somebody down the street who just works a regular 9-to-5, they live in their life, they never did anything bad, illegal in their life. And they point you out. That's not snitching.
You know what I'm saying?
Not at all.
It's a street code. It's like a street code.
Well, I can't even too much say a street code. That should just be like
it's something. Dumb, it's
you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's human nature.
You and me, we used to see it on, you probably still do. I see it on the regular in the hood. It was one of the reasons why I was late today. Like, I'm getting sick of people who think that they can steal and get away with it and don't nobody say anything. I am a working husband and father. I wake up every morning. I take my wife to work. I take my kids to school. And I try to make it to work on time. I'm courteous, loving, and everything towards people. And you have walked in here with this mindset of, don't none of that matter. I can do whatever I want to do. And I can take whatever I want to take. Go ahead.
My input. You know, we grew up in the hood.
Yeah.
You know it's hard. It struggles.
All day.
But you... Niggas steal every day.
All day.
True. McDonald's, they steal from McDonald's.
Yeah, true.
They steal from the shoe store.
Okay.
They steal from liquor stores. Uh-huh. It don't matter. Anything's off. Everything's off limits. They don't care. But at the same time, you got to have the notion of... you got to have some sense, man.
Like, when is it...
Get a job.
Like, yeah. Like, I don't understand why
Bro,
that...
get a fucking job. I don't understand why
that becomes such a big deal. Because for me... stealing, hustling drugs on the block, nothing personal. Because I had a couple OGs who steered me in the way of making sure I didn't do that. At least you had that. You had the neighborhood drug dealer who was doing what he was doing. But as far as what he was doing, he tried to do what he could to keep those who had no mindset for it out of the way.
That's out the window too now.
That's gone.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance... when we used to work up there at McDonald's.
I don't know if
you remember the one little situation, man. The young guy came in there. He didn't have a clip in the gun. He tried to rob it.
Lord Jesus.
And then
I wasn't there.
What I'm talking about, right?
Man, I've been.
No clue. Yeah. Long story short.
Go ahead, brother.
Young man wound up, you know what I'm saying, getting killed because it was a retired police officer that used to come in there and eat lunch.
Yeah, as he was trained.
Yeah, so when he seen this happening, he went back into, you know what I'm saying, police mode. Come to find out, his uncle convinced him to do that. And his uncle was like 25, 26 or something.
Initiation.
You send your 15-year-old.
Initiation.
You know what I'm saying? But then he gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of you taking that on the shoulder and taking the blame, y'all get mad at the person who killed him.
More importantly.
You got your nephew dead, man.
I grew up, I've been fortunate enough to dodge bullets, period. Amen. Especially from Detroit, it's hard to
really is
live over 25. It's very hard. I'm blessed. I'm about to be 30 in a few months. Mm-hmm. I seen drive-bys. I see the dude get killed in front of me. Me and my boys, we tripped over a dead body while I was in middle school. I've been working at CVS with you. Mm-hmm. They got robbed. And I wasn't there that day. And that other time we worked at CVS, at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. That I wouldn't say it got robbed, but.
Shout out to Mike, Silas, Rose, Linda.
Yeah. And they get robbed, man. I've never been there. You know, God been blessing me.
You've been blessing.
I never got robbed in my life. But, man, it could be crazy, man. Anybody can get it. That's
anybody.
like literally anybody. So you got to be on your P's and Q's when you're in the city, man.
I mean,
that's why I have God watch over me, man.
I'm not gonna say that I grew up completely sheltered from it because I haven't. I made my mistakes, you know what I'm saying? But one thing I can always say, man, you learn from your mistakes. I feel like a lot of people nowadays ain't trying to learn from their mistakes, man.
No.
You
know what I'm saying? And that's the thing that's like really, really messing with me now.
They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck now. They never gave a fuck back then, but it's even worse, man.
They didn't get, you know what? They didn't give a damn back then with a principle in mind.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Okay.
They didn't give a damn back then with a principle in mind. I didn't give a damn I was selling drugs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't give a damn that you was selling drugs. As long as you stayed out my way and I stayed out your way, we was good to go.
That's another competition.
Yes,
thing.
But the competition had a rule in place where if there wasn't no trouble, keep it pushing.
Oh, man.
Trouble has to be started in order for you to be able to do what you do.
The rules is all the way out the window.
You know what I mean?
Man.
Like,
the rule was always to be especially on the
Chicago.
Defense.
Especially in Chicago.
I mean, I can't just single them out, man, because
I
feel like Chicago just got the spotlight now. Mm-hmm. But if you can remember, at one point, Detroit had that. Yeah. But we didn't have the spotlight. I just feel like...
We still do.
Yeah, but not as bad as Chicago.
Because think about it.
You know what I mean?
Back in the 90s.
Now, I'm not saying who better or who worse or
none
of that.
No.
You know what I mean?
What I'm saying is as far as... We're talking about spotlight. And we're talking about being under the scope.
Mm-hmm.
We're not under the scope for anything. Mm-mm. We're not under the scope for anything. And not to say that other cities are, you know, not getting any recognition... And I don't want any recognition for being a murder capital.
Me either.
What I'm saying is that, for God's sakes, we probably got more memes than anybody. We got more. I'm just saying, though, like, I'm just saying.
Hold on,
like,
you got to go into this right now.
Listen, go ahead.
Everybody might think about taking a trip to Chicago.
You know
what I'm saying? Everybody might think about taking a trip to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody might think about taking a trip to New York, taking a trip to Miami. These places is not all the way hunky-dory. We're not at all considered hunky-dory. There's nothing about Detroit that is spit out about us being okay to chill and going to hang out with. The only time that people come down here is by secret and because I got family down here and I had to come down here for a little situation. Other than that, I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Between 2006, 2008, Atlanta became the new New York.
Yeah.
Everybody from Detroit
wanted to move to Atlanta.
We out of here. My neighbors, I'm on my way to Atlanta. After a while, I stopped asking where people were going. I did. I stopped asking where they were going. They was on their way to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You only had a few people that might have said, you know, I'm headed up to Connecticut or whatever, or you know what I'm saying?
I want to Toronto or something like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Only a few, but for sure enough, everybody's headed to Atlanta.
But do you think it's because a lot of people from the city are probably get a certain status, make a certain amount of money, and instead of reinvesting back into the city, they migrate
they
to Atlanta or whoever?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that it's not an economic plight. That has caused the issue for people not to come back to Detroit. But I also believe that we're somewhat of our own worst enemies. We put ourselves in sometimes a position of don't come here. Don't come
Think
here.
Think about it, man. We had high murder rate. People hate on each other. Hate turn to greed.
For the dumbest things.
It is.
For the dumbest things. And then,
but you know what? I am glad that Detroit is coming back.
Yeah, we are.
I'm happy about that.
We are coming back, and then I'm constantly listen, I have to make this known real fast because we don't believe, as far as the African American community, a good amount of us don't. We don't believe that there's such a thing as reverse racism. A lot of what's going on in Detroit is because there are a lot of young entrepreneurs who are white, who are black, who are Asian, all types of different, and they have come together and said, this city can be something incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind working with you. However, if you're planning on doing the same old thing that's been going on, then I don't want anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
People have a problem with that.
Oh yeah, I see a lot of stuff. We have this
Detroit pride, but it's in the wrong place. You either want to go forward or you want to go backwards. Mm-hmm. And the people that want to go backwards, it's because they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Detroit
Public. I see where you're coming
from. You know what I'm saying? Detroit Public Schools. Detroit Public Schools. Mm-hmm. We knew, but we had no idea how vast.
Yeah.
And then some of these principals, some of these teachers, you know, these are people that we trusted, not in a regular way.
Yeah.
We kind of looked at them like second mama, second daddy. You mean to tell me that the plight you was making about these books, about these conditions and all this extra stuff that you put and instilled in me to make a plight about, you were responsible for? I'm all looking at you thinking you working a regular job, being diligent and loving toward us, pulling mm-hmm. up in a Benz, pulling up in a Jag. I'm thinking you worked hard for this. You stole from me. I will never forget this. I had a meet merit scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
The meet merit scholarship was for 4 years of a ride for college.
Remember that good old merit scholarship?
2 years I was going to do community, mm-hmm. and then I was going to head to a university.
Mm-hmm.
After I graduated, come to find out that there is no meet merit. There has never been a meet merit. At all. Yeah. All this money that we're thinking that we're going to get, that we're hoping for, it's not there. It was never put in place for us to get it in the first place. They took it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, and then all these people that's coming out, that's, I don't understand it. And, you know, then you get this big old thing where people are like, well, you know, the white man and the white guys are coming in and they're taking all this stuff. Everybody's been black.
Yeah.
Well,
like.
But think about it. Like,
hold on.
Go ahead.
Exactly what he's saying, and I agree for the most point. I just think at some point, definitely when it comes down to the, like, the education system in Detroit.
We get screwed.
You know what I'm saying? Like, go back to when we was kids, like, growing up in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. We saw the signs. Mm-hmm. Like he was saying, we didn't know how bad it was
mm-hmm.
until it hit the fan. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I noticed it when we didn't have enough textbooks in the class.
Well, I started noticing it like early, like 94, 95. Mm. I didn't know what
around
it was
time,
I was noticing.
Like, I was like,
but
first,
I started noticing
grade,
certain little things. That. Like, hold on, I'm in the third grade now and it's not enough books. Or I'm reading when this book was published and it's saying 1974. And I'm like, I know yeah. this is 1996, but I'm not going to say anything. But right. if logic is logic.
Right.
Why is we still learning something from 1974? You know what I mean?
Right.
It should be a little bit
so
more
advanced, outdated.
You know what
so
I'm saying?
Outdated, yeah.
I can remember seeing a lot of commercials, like definitely around the time when the Detroit public school system started really, really fell in and the schools started shutting mm-hmm. down. And like everybody was asking why. I can remember seeing like around 2005 to 2009. Around mm-hmm. that time, I can remember seeing certain commercials that was saying that basically what was going on with, like, the Michigan lottery winners. It was going to the public school systems in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember yeah. seeing that. You remember that. And then I can say, well.
Remember them count days where they talk about,
the
like,
count
yeah.
days,
we gonna
you
win
know what
like
I'm
a, we
yeah,
win like
count
a 50
days,
STDs
you know.
Like,
they dang. Didn't care if you didn't come to school every day, but count day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they get that money, yeah.
And then, oh, well, the rest of the year.
You know the other thing that mm-hmm. I'm noticing? With all that we had.
Detroit public school system in general, not just the city of Detroit, yeah. but the state of Michigan mm-hmm. is terrible.
Yeah.
It's like one of the worst public school systems in America.
Well, you know what? As far as statistics is concerned, yes. Was it as bad and as crazy as it is now? No. When we was growing up, we might not have had a lot,
uh-huh.
but as far as the mindset and the seriousness from teachers,
mm-hmm.
we was all right. We was 10 times better than what my son's going through right now. Like, there are, my son goes to a supposed Detroit public school, but everything is charter now. These teachers are.
Oh, you know what charter means, right?
Yeah, I know.
Money.
You know yep. what? Here's yep. the crazy thing about it. Yep. These teachers, you know, when I hear the word teacher,
uh-huh.
as far as what I saw, I expect to see the same thing on a continuous basis. You're not just molding a young mind. You're putting a person in the world who later on might be the person to help you. You would think you would put more of an effort into molding.
But these, you know what? That comes down to the point where I used to always hear back in the day, I asked my teacher once, and I can never forget this, Miss Thomas, she did now, rest in peace. But I asked her once, I was like, because she was kind of younger at the time. I think she was like 32. And I was young, you know what I'm saying, to be a teacher back then. Still kind of is now. So I'm like, what made you decide to, you know what I'm saying, to be a teacher for your job? She said, I'm going to stop you there, Robert. Being a teacher isn't a job. This is a calling.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not meant to be a teacher, don't be a teacher.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, well, a lot of these teachers nowadays, this is just a job for them.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of these kids, well, the Detroit public school kids, not really learning. It's just a check. They're not going that extra mile.
That's how it is at every public school system here in the state. I noticed it while I was in Redford. I worked at Thurston High School, Pierce, and what's that other elementary school? Cooper. I think it's Cooper. Fisher. It was Fisher. I noticed, like, teachers, they're not as passionate. I remember back in our days, teachers was passionate, even though it was low-paying job, but they was passionate about their job. Yeah. But nowadays, teachers, they, like, really lazy or they don't care no more, man.
It's just a job.
It's just a job.
You be at your job, it's always that one person complaining, not doing nothing, but be the main ones happy and wanting to get that check.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just, you know, then everything then turned into a job now.
That's why I'm an advocate of teachers getting a pay increase, because I think if they get a pay increase, they can be more interested in their job. Because teachers nowadays, they feel as though they like a babysitter and shit like that. You know what?
I have to agree with what he said about it being a calling. I was a youth aide. I think I did it for like 3 years straight for Salvation Army. Shout out to my boy Short, God bless his soul. I miss him. These kids was coming from situations that were unnecessary. You have situations where you can't help it, and you got situations where unnecessary.
Right.
These kids needed people like me and the teachers that I grew up with. Ones that weren't just about teaching you a lesson. They were about loving you and making you understand. What I'm telling you is not something that you should just listen to and then forget later on. This needs to be embedded. And you need to understand, in order for you to go forward in life, not just in schooling, in life, you need to take this serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you notice the impact when you're not there.
Right.
You watch the difference in this child and how they act. And, you know, when you come around, they switch right back up. Oh, okay. You know, there was that particular teacher that had your number.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You could do whatever you or however you felt to act around Mr. Taylor and did whatever you wanted to do around Ms. Johnson. But when Ms. Jackson came around, you straightened up and you got yourself together, because it wasn't about the fact that she called your mama or she called your daddy or that she made sure you got suspended. Ms. Jackson did what most teachers back in the day didn't give up and was dead in your face no matter what. You could have broken glass on one of the fire extinguishers and Ms. Jackson would go get the janitor and get you a broom and make you sweep it up. Put you on whatever punishment she put you on, but you still not gonna get, like, what you looking for, she won't give you.
That is crazy.
She'll give you what you need versus what you think you should get.
Mm-hmm.
These teachers nowadays, it's, well, I'm doing what I can, and I'm talking to them, but I'm not really getting through.
But you know what? You can't too much blame the teachers, because at some point, you got to start looking at the parents also.
Absolutely.
You get a lot of these kids who come in here or come to these schools, act a donkey. Trip out, do what they want to do, and why is that? And then as soon as they get checked, I mean, you know what I'm saying, chastised by the teacher, here come the parents. Oh, you don't talk to my daughter like this. Oh, you don't do this to my, you know what I mean? So it's giving them, it's giving these kids the idea that they can get away with murder. What happened? They become preteens. Mm-hmm. They become teenagers. Mm-hmm. Then they start doing retarded stuff because they never was chastised the right way outside of being a it's a real world out here.
I never understood. You know what I'm saying? I never understood that parent and kid relationship that I saw growing up, where a mother and a son or a daughter and a father were cursing at each other and smoking weed together and all this. Like, I somewhat was envious of it, but at the same time, I was disgusted because I looked at it from like, you just said the F word to your mama, and your mama laughed it off, and y'all had a conversation. Like, I couldn't get out. I couldn't get freak out my mouth.
Oh, my mom popped.
The word freak alone got me almost beat to a bloody pulp. Like, there's no, like,
I really didn't want to cuss like that at school, there's no stigma. Nah, my mom was really strict, too.
At some point, man, you know what I'm saying, once we start making these conscious decisions that we, you know what I'm saying, decide we want to have kids at what age, whatever age, whatever situation, we got to start looking at the good and the bad of our childhoods and seeing what we want to take from it and then evolving with it.
Still.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think about it, man. You can't keep using the same mindset that your mama's mama raised her, then raised her, then raised your mama, then raised you on. You got to start creating another different type of concept. Like, all right, man, my mama used to do this when I used to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you first. I'm going to see why you did this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull you to the side. You still going to get, you know what I'm saying, in trouble, but it's not just going to be I'm throwing you in a room. I'm not going to never find out the logic to why you just, for instance, threw a rock through my car window. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm going to just give you a whooping and then go to your room. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then if I talk to you, I might find out you did that because it was somebody trying to break into my car. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that you thought about doing was to throw this rock. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or that's an extreme. Example. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
You know, but
while we're on the subject of children, I'm gonna start this off.
Don't get me started. I know where you're going with this, but go ahead.
To my dudes, I need to holler at y'all for a second.
What's up?
We're doing a whole lot better. Let me make that clear. We are doing a whole lot better as far as being fathers, as far as taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, it's about knowing what your responsibility is, okay? Mm-hmm. When we were growing up, those that didn't have fathers in their life, you didn't understand why. And then after a while, it just became the norm. Okay. I'm not sure if this happened with my boys.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure if this happened with my boys, but you know, as far as me and my dogs, when we was growing up, we kind of made a secret pact that we was going to be there for our children. Mm-hmm. That we was going to ride for our children. I got guys nowadays who are having children, trying to be there, don't work out with the baby mama or the mother of the child, rather.
Yeah.
And they're just gone. Let me make something very importantly clear to you. You leaving is the beginning of you not being able to do what you need to do and what should be fair to you as far as being a parent.
Okay.
All right. Being a dad is just as much as being a mom. Mm-hmm. You're leaving the child with the mother and you feel that this is just the norm. It is not a normal thing. It should not be a normal thing.
No.
If you and the mom can't work it out, you need to put rules in place to where you and mom are still advocates within that child's life on the same plateau.
It can be done. This goes back to what we were saying earlier. It goes back into getting to know the person that you decide to have these kids with first. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes you'd be so much in lust, you're not even getting the chance to understand if we was to have a baby and this don't work out, will he run? Will she be bitter and not let me see my child? You see what I'm saying?
You'd be so in love
when you first get into these relationships or situations or whatever, you know what I'm saying, with people. Then you get you get pregnant. And then now you even more in love. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Everything's needs working with, you know what I'm saying? Even love. So eventually, if the foundation ain't there, love gonna start going away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You gonna start despising this person.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Then your personal feelings towards this person, you taking it out on the child now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I agree with you with that one, because that's how I was growing up. I see my sister getting fights with her baby daddies and stuff. I see my mom got to a fight with her, you know, father, her my sister. Right. God bless his soul. He died a couple of years ago, but they get into fights and stuff. He threatened to kill my mom. And my mom brought like a 12-gauge shotgun.
Clowning,
man. You know what? I grew up, I won't say I grew up without a father, but when I was 7, my mom and my dad had a custody battle with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the age of 7 through the age of 13 and 14, I ain't seen my dad. Mm-hmm. That was because we moved. My mom changed the phone number and stuff, so he couldn't get in contact with me. Mm-hmm. And those years was very... It was very hard, man, because especially growing up without a father, I'm not trying to speak negative about the women, but it was rough, man. I was more emotional. Mm-hmm. I wasn't as, like, hard or anything like that. I was crying and stuff because I need my dad in my life, you know?
Every man does.
Every man needs a child.
Every child, needs a father. Period.
Yeah,
period.
Every boy, every girl needs a father in their life. I don't care if you didn't have a good relationship with your dad. Every child needs a dad in his life.
You know, growing up, with my situation, I'm what you call an affair baby. Shout out to my dad. We just reconciled last year.
I remember that.
We're good to go. Shout out to my wife, who has... Okay, real quick. My wife is by far one of the best women that has ever walked this earth, and I thank God for me being able to find my match. That woman made it her business to not only reunite me with pieces of my family, but to make sure that I was whole in certain places of my life. So that way I didn't have to worry about walking around not being whole, which is something that is supposed to be looked forward to when you get married. You two are supposed to make each other better every day.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that she has done has made me a better man, because now I don't walk around trying to figure out why. And this is what happens when that parent that you don't have with the other parent, that's what happens. You're wondering why. I wondered why. I thought it was me. I thought it was something I said, something I did. And at the end of the day, it was just like you said, being bitter and just being stupid. Mm-hmm. These kids crave discipline.
Oh, yeah.
They crave love from both. When they don't get it, nobody knows the type of monster you're going to get. Some are good monsters, some are mediocre monsters, and some are just monsters. They don't have any type of, there's nothing there. And the messed up part is, there's no telling how much time you got to get to that monster. Mm-hmm. So, you know, me growing up without my dad, I was blessed to have a family with a mindset of it takes a village to raise a child. If I didn't have my grandfather, God rest his soul, if I didn't have my uncles, my mom, my grandma, my aunties, Brandon probably be somewhere doing something extremely stupid on a regular basis.
Because
that foundation was in my life and was like, oh, you gonna do what you supposed to do and get yourself together one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether or not if it's gonna take me killing you and then bringing you back to life to do it, but if that's what's necessary.
Shout out to Boma.
Hey, man. If that's what's necessary. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, if that's what's necessary, you know, after a while of, you know, your parents telling you to go pick out the weapon that's supposed to take care of you, you tend to want to get yourself together.
Like, go back to what you're saying.
Yeah.
You could label me as a black sheep of the family. I don't care what you label me, but I always have a mindset of, I want to get married before I have kids.
All day.
I see my brother and my three sisters going through. Actually, four. Well, yeah, it's three.
Which is the way it's supposed to be.
Man, they be struggling with child support. Well, especially my brother. I think my brother got like 8-10 kids. I really don't know.
Mary Ann Jones.
I know, right?
Shout out to CJ brother.
Ronnie. Sorry. But he's going through
so much.
so much with child support, and you know, he haven't. I don't think he sees his kids. I don't think he's haven't seen his kids in so many years. And I trying to, get him to, you know, get the, you know, spend time with your kids and stuff. But he don't want to listen. Well, he just wanted to drink all day.
You know, man. I had this one guy come into my store, and he wanted to get a paternity test, and he wanted to get one because the girl that. The child he was taking care of, she wasn't sure whether or not if it was his. And then she was trying to do something facetious. I can't remember the way the thing went. Long story short, the guy came in with his girlfriend. She was pushing a stroller. He had three other kids that was running around. Now, he didn't look the best, right?
Right.
But his mindset was, one way or another, that kid coming with me. Now, to men who don't look at it that way, they probably would have said, boy, you out your mind. You already got four in your house. Why you want another one? He looked at it from a standpoint of, I made him. Mm-hmm. And even if I didn't make him, he's been in my life a little too long for me to just say, all right, well, since he ain't mine, go on about your business. The responsibility of a man has been instilled in him. I'm already there. So backing out is going to make it 10 times worse than what you, this is, and when I say backing out, I mean backing out of the boy's life and doing something, just being spiteful, fellas and ladies, is not going to work out when mm-hmm. there's a child involved.
No. Right.
If you're not going to work out, then say you're not going to work out.
And see.
And do what you're supposed to do.
The way I was brought up. I was brought up, you know what I'm saying, my mother and my father, they was married. But prior to that, she wound up having my older brother by somebody else. Mm-hmm. I don't really know the details, obviously, but from what I can remember growing up, he just didn't want to do anything for my brother. You know, his father, you know, he just was on board. He ran, I was having other kids, and wound up getting married again, from my knowledge. Mm-hmm. And long story short, my mother never complained. She never did any of that. She never looked for child support. No, at first she was getting it. Then he stopped working, and then all of a sudden that stopped, and she just kept it moving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My sister wound up having a baby also. Her boyfriend didn't work out. She never did complain about child support. She definitely did not allow him to not see his son. And to this day, you know what I'm saying? God bless his soul. Big Leon, he wound up passing away. That's my older brother. I love him. And that's family, because by her not doing that, they relationship became even closer. Because y'all might not have been meant to, you know what I'm saying, be that's together.
Don't let court get it between none of
that
relationship.
You know what I'm saying? None of that. And he was always there for, you know what I'm saying, his son. She always allowed him to be there for his son. You know,
and shout out to the women who understand that sometimes you just got to be adult about it.
Yeah.
It's not always about, okay, well, since you ain't going to be with me, I'm just going to go ahead and take you to court. Okay, listen, bitter heifer.
Just say the B word. Go ahead. I know you want to say it.
You know what? The word,
I said it for you.
You know what? The word, the B, you know what? Here's the problem with the B word, ladies and gentlemen. The B word is expected. Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
When you acting like you ain't got no doggone sense for a man, that's the expected word. So you're not looking for it to hurt you anymore. I say heifer because heifer is absolutely unexpected. Mm-hmm. And if you not hurt, you at least dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. Get yourself together. It ain't that big of a deal. There's plenty other men just like there's plenty other women.
Yeah.
But understand that just because somebody don't want you, that don't mean that you still don't have a responsibility to take care of.
Exactly.
And that's the root of this. Hopefully everybody's listening that needs to listen to this. And I want to move on because we're getting ready to cut off, but I definitely want to get into this Black Panther. So let's get into this Black Panther before it's over with. Go ahead, CJ.
This next, you know, man, out of the 2 hours and 15 minutes that I watched the movie, I think I dozed off for like 10 minutes.
Oh, man.
I know.
Look at this dude. You know what?
That's what I said. I'm going to watch it again.
You know what? That's being tired, but being prevalent.
I worked that day. I had to work that day.
That's
so
being tired, being prevalent.
But it was an awesome movie. It was an awesome movie. Side note. I haven't watched a Marvel movie in like 10 years prior to watching Black Panther. Mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. watching Black Panther, that motivated me in several reasons. I can't wait for Infinity War. They go come out April 27th. I mm-hmm. love it. I'm like, man, I'm going to watch it. Another reason, like, that made me proud to be a black man in America. Mm-hmm. Black man in this world. Not just America, yeah. but in this world. It gave me pride, mm-hmm. dignity, mm-hmm. and it was very family oriented. That's what I love about the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, and, not to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I ain't saying nothing. I'm about to say nothing else.
I need to make this clear, and I probably gonna get in trouble for it, but I don't care. Black Panther was not a movie just to instill and to uplift the black community in a manner of, all right, let's take all these white people out. Unfortunately, that is somewhat of the stigma for the movie.
Right. I thought that was crazy. But...
I want people to understand something. This movie was about you understanding where you came from and what you can be no matter what. No matter what is not no matter what the white man says. No matter what means no matter what. Mm-hmm. I don't like that's our crutch.
And you know what? Wakanda was struggling.
It was
struggling.
Wakanda was struggling. And they came together with a mindset of, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's what I talk about. Unification.
Yep. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, what I love about this movie, first of all, for those who read comics like I do, and understand Stan Lee made it clear when he made Black Panther. This is by far one of the most intricate characters of my Marvel universe. He has been and will always be one of the most important characters that brings the Marvel universe together. So, this is not just, oh, he just now making a character for us.
Oh, uh-uh.
Black Panther has been around for years.
And see, that's when I'm going to come in. At.
To be exact.
It's not just the Black. Yeah. It's just not just Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? He did the same thing, Stan Lee, with the X-Men.
Yes,
he did. You know what I'm saying? Magneto represented Malcolm X philosophy. Mm-hmm. Professor X was Martin Luther King's. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Nevertheless, man, if you pay attention to, like, I just go to the movie. Like, of course, man, to the super, super nerds out there, dog, calm down. It's not 100% the comic. None of them is. They got to still try to make it a little, you know what I'm saying, realistic.
They had to bring out everything from each comic within this movie. If you brung just one particular story from one comic, we wouldn't have been in there for exactly. 2 hours and 15
minutes. You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? It broke down a lot of barriers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? One of the small issues I had with it didn't even have nothing to do with, like, social. It was, like, just me being a movie guy. Like, dang, or Marvel fans, like, mm-hmm. dang, we still don't know what a soldier, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But outside of that, it was good. You know what I'm saying? It's not meant for us to, you know what I'm saying, take over the world. Yeah. Or, like, don't get it twisted. It's still a movie.
Oh, no, I want to say nothing like take over the world.
But it is that.
It gives you the mindset.
It is a mindset that people took from it. Mm-hmm. You know, real quick, for all these people that's doing all this, I want to say it's unnecessary. If necessary studying means you want to open your mind, not close your mind to this particular mindset so that way you can just walk around feeling like you're superior.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
All this, well, you know, we was from kings and we was me and we need to, okay, that's fine. Yes, we are from all that. Mm-hmm. But that don't mean that we get to walk around slapping people around doing what we want to do just because of it.
You seen the videos like on Instagram? It's like
everybody
that was retarded.
Everybody has a place on this earth. God did not mean for just one person to be in charge all the time. We are supposed to learn from each other, love one another, get to understand. Because at the end of the day, we're all rooted. Nobody is fully what they are outside skin. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody. And what I would love about Michael B. Jordan, when I was watching his interview, he said that one of the premieres that he went to, there were it was in Korea. There was a Korean based, you know, as far there was people from mm-hmm. Korea who came to the movie premiere in their own clothing as far as their heritage was concerned. Mm-hmm. And it was a sign of respect as far as, this is where you came from. Allow us to show you where we came from. This was basically an opening door for the UN at the movies.
Okay.
You get to understand me. I get to understand you. Versus, what are you doing in here? So, you know, Black Panther was dope.
It was dope.
And go see it if you haven't seen it. Seriously.
Yes, please do. This is CJ.
Your boy B.
It's your man's Rob.
And this is 3 Raw.
All day.